as we're going a different order. So let's start with the Year of the Lord imagery. So we are starting a new sermon series today, and our sermon series this whole year is based on the Lord. We are paying attention to the number one way that Jesus is described in the Old Testament, how he's addressed. It's Lord. It's over again, it's Lord, 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 Lord. And yet, we don't have lords in our life, so we don't think about lords. So we use this a lot, even as we pray or as I talk about God, I use the Lord because that's kind of what's in the Bible. But I haven't got that in my imagination the same way the people who were getting this for the first time would have. And so we're looking at different ways and aspects that Jesus is Lord. So reading, to start this new series, we read from Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, where someone is addressing Jesus as Lord. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray," Jesus said to them, "When you pray, Father, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." So, this is like the core ideas of what's found that we call our Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the Our Father Prayer. It's listed in Matthew, and we'll look at part of that next, or a little bit later. But the idea of the Lord's Prayer. And so what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is look at the Lord's prayers, which is going to include this prayer. And we're going to look at different aspects of this prayer each week, but we're also going to look at other prayers that Jesus prayed each week. And we're going to find the different themes of that. Now, in doing that, we will learn about praying and about how we can pray, but also part of the goal is I think we're going to learn more about God and us and life. That, like, how Jesus prayed and what he prayed and how he instructed us to pray and what he said was important about it. That'll start to, I think, show us things about life in general. So it is about prayer, but not just about prayer. Now, before we go into the first week theme of the message, I just want you to know that in the middle of this series, we are going to be praying at Celebrate for a whole week. So we talk about this being Pentecost Sunday. What led up to Pentecost Sunday is that after Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, you know, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And they went there, and the way they waited, according to Luke, is they were praising and worshiping God. The way they waited, according to Acts, is they joined together constantly in prayer. And so we're going to do the constantly in prayer here by having someone, at least one person. I guess you could sign up in groups and pairs or families, or people do that too. But praying in our prayer room all week long. And how this came about is there's a ministry called 24/7 Prayer, and it is based in Europe. So what happened is 25 years ago, there's these young adults who are trying to reach people that no one else is reaching, trying to reach people who in their parts of the country, in Europe, like they have nothing to do with the church. They're trying to do it in different ways, but they're just feeling like it's empty. I mean, they see some good things, but they're just like, this can't be it. And so they decide to set up this room and like cover it in all kinds of art and things like that and let people draw on the walls and stuff. And they say, we're going to rotate who prays in this room, and we're going to do it for a whole week, even through the night. And so they do that, and then at the end of the week, people just want to keep going because they're drawn to the room, and like people are showing up in the room and becoming converted. They have stories of that. Like, they just show up. They don't even know what they're doing. Or it's not even all Christians that come to the room, but just different people come to the room, and it goes for weeks. And when they're finally like, okay, it's time to be done, someone else who heard about it said, well, we'll do it. And in different parts of Europe, they just started handing off and setting up prayer rooms where someone was praying in that prayer room for the whole time. And then they have all kinds of stories that come out of that. Camille and I were on a Zoom with someone who's part of this organization where they have a prayer room in, I'm going to say it wrong, Ibiza. It's a island off of Spain. It's like the party place of the world. It's the clubbing place. It's the place, you know, to go for all that. It is not, you know, following this very carefully. There, it's the opposite. But they got a prayer room there, and they have favor with everyone there. All kinds of people. Like, the people who are running the strip clubs know when they have issues, they contact the 24/7 prayer people because they'll love them and they'll take care of them. Now, for them to be able to manage in that whole thing, they need to pray. So they will literally like spend an hour or two in prayer and then go to the streets and try to help people. And they'll get people who are like, you know, they thought this is great, I'm going to go do this. And then they realize like, oh man, I just crashed and burned. And they'll just bring them into the prayer room and pray for them and minister to them. That's the idea of the prayer room. It's not just this place we come in prayer, but like, how do we reach people? How do we love people? And this can be for everyone too. Anyway, there's like this little section of this called 24/7 USA. It's a group of people that are really connect and like the prayer rooms. And last year they said, since it's the 25-year anniversary, we want to have 52 communities cover the 52 different weeks of prayer in praying for a whole week, night and day. And so the first one started in Portland. I think there was one in San Francisco. I mentioned at the second service, just because I noticed, like, there's two from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I said, go blue, you know, kind of as a joke. Afterwards, the person coming up for prayer is a young man who just got hired by Michigan's football team. And is just going out there. He doesn't know anybody. He's leaving next week to go. And so that was a little nod to him from God. I was just, you know, doing my fan guy stuff. But the Lord had something else in mind with it. But anyway, and one of the communities is Knoxville, Iowa. We're doing it June 2nd, we never know what to call it because it starts at midnight. We're supposed to, the community that ends, they end at midnight and they hand off to us. So I don't know if it's June 2nd or June 3rd, but it's midnight. So then June 3rd, we get started and we pray for a week. And so we need people to sign up. Now we've done this before for like 24 hours or 30 hours or 40 hours or 48 hours. We've done this at different times. Usually in half-hour slots, and almost every single time, maybe every single time, we'll have someone say, like, I just prayed at home. Well, that's good. Praying at home is great. It's just that's not the point of this. This is to have someone praying in the prayer room all the time. Like, you don't leave till the next person shows up kind of thing. In fact, one person that we know, like, the next person didn't show up, so they just stayed in the prayer room. Then the next person didn't show up. They just stayed in the prayer room. Literally, I think it was an hour and a half or 2 hours extra. They stayed in the prayer room because they got, like, that's kind of the point. And when we said, you know, what does it take to be qualified for this? They said, you just need to, with integrity, say, you will make sure someone is in that prayer room. Now, many of you would be like, okay, great. I'm glad some people are going to be doing this. I want to especially appeal to you. Many of the folks who pray in that prayer room now, who enjoy going to that prayer room now, thought the same thing, like, that is not for me. What am I going to do for a half hour? Then one of the most common reports that get back from people who would use it for the first time is like, I can't believe how fast the time went. There will be different things that you can do if you don't know what to do. We're going to update the room. There are different ways you can pray. But just be there. Just so you don't have to know what you do. You don't have to pray the whole time. Trust that you being there, too good. For God, something's there. I don't get it. But here's what I do know. I read the original book from the guy a few years after he wrote it when the whole prayer room thing happened, so over 20 years ago, and we started doing them at the other church I was at. So I've been doing these initiatives for a long time. There's something about it. When you walk into a room where someone's been praying and it's just been connected, it's just something about it. And especially in the middle of the night, which is like not my favorite to get here, but oftentimes for whatever reason, and this is true too when we hear of other stories of people in their prayer rooms, something about the middle of the night is unique. I guess less people are up, so God's like even more eager to, I don't know, I'm making stuff up. Anyway, all that's to say, please sign up. If we can get like 100, it's 168 hours we have to cover. So we can get like 100 people to sign up, that's great. I'll be here as many times as I need to be, but I'm going to sign up a couple times and then wait and see what happens. So encourage you to consider that. Got to get going on this sermon now. So Luke chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. 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 He would be saying, Father sounds rather formal. And Jesus, it was Abba. That's more like Dada or Papa or Daddy or Dad. That'd be closer to it. So when you pray, say, Father, say, Abba. Now that is not how his people, the Jewish people, were typically praying. They barely thought you could say his name. He's so holy, he's so big, he's so huge, he's so all of that. That to just say, like, Dad? It's different, it's strange. But when Jesus is teaching those who follow him how to pray, he says, say, Father. You know, these guys, it's not like the guys who asked that question didn't know how to pray. They've been taught how to pray. They're Jewish people. They've been praying every day, all the time. But there was something different about how Jesus prayed. There's something different about Jesus' life. And prayer was connected to that. And so that, they're asking like that, what is it? And he starts with, well, let's concentrate on who you're praying to. You know, I could start praying without ever thinking about who I'm praying to. I do that all the time. It's more of just like, I know I need help. I know there's stuff going on. I know I should be doing it. So, but I never think about, like, who am I praying to? God, okay. So am I praying to him because I'm doing pretty good now, so I think it's okay to pray to him? Or Jesus starts with, like, Father. Father. And what does Jesus have in his mind? What is his idea of Father? Well, in Luke chapter 3, we read this. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. As Jesus is praying, there is communication that happens back for him. Because prayer isn't just us talking to God. It's also us listening to God. And, you know, well, I don't hear God. I don't know what that means. That's fine. I mean, even just reading, this is his word. This is his communication to us. This can be praying just to slowly, quietly, like, take in some of what, a little bit of what he says. Think, what would you be saying to me based on this? But Jesus' experience as he's praying is heaven opens up, the Spirit comes down, and he hears, you are loved. You're my son. I'm pleased with you. And when Jesus goes to pray, he's got that in mind. That in mind. I'm his son. I am loved. He is pleased with me. That's who I'm praying to. Holy, yes. Awesome, yes. Powerful, yes. But good and loving and kind and likes Jesus. And he says, Father, Abba. And so it's that experience. You know, it happens again at another time in life in Matthew chapter 17. I guess we could have read the Luke account too, but Jesus is praying again, it says, in Luke, and as he's praying, his appearance changes, and he hears a voice again, and it's again, this is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him in Matthew chapter 17. This is my son, whom I love. And so it's out of knowing this that he prays. And it's not just in this one prayer where he teaches us how to pray. We're going to look at a lot of passages, but we'll go through them quickly. But we're going to look at different ways that Jesus prays and notice that he just keeps saying, Father. And when he's saying Father, he is getting in touch with, like, you, the one who loves me, the one who's pleased with me, the one who I can trust, the one who chose me. I'm in your family. That's how he's going every time. So Luke chapter 10, verse 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Jesus is in a good mood. He's had a good day. And so when he goes to pray in a good mood, having a good day, he says, Father. Father. This is great. Father. He starts with the one who loves him, who wants to be with him, who calls him his own. That is who he's going to talk to. Now in John chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus is having a conversation and thinking like, people may say this is what I should say if I was talking to God, but this is what I will say when I'm talking to God. Father, glorify your name. You, the one who loves me, the one who's with me, the one who I could trust, glorify your name. Father. John chapter 17, verse 1. Now, sometimes this is called the Lord's Prayer, and the other one's called the Our Father Prayer, but either way, this is another long prayer of Jesus, and let me read a few of the different verses from it. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. A little bit later in the prayer, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. A little bit later in his prayer, as he's praying for those who he's with at that moment, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. When he goes to pray for the people he's closest to, at a time that's pretty meaningful because of he knows what's going to come, it's going to be a parting of ways with them, and these are the people he loves, he says, Father, Abba, the one who loves him, the one who's with him, the one he can trust. Now he's going to be facing some rough stuff. He's already starting to experience the anxiety, the pain, the anticipation of how he's going to suffer for us and what that's going to mean for him physically, but also mentally, but also spiritually, and maybe especially spiritually. And as he's praying, verse 36, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Father, I can trust you. You love, he knows he is loved. He knows he is deeply loved by God. That's who he's praying to. When he says, this is what I think and this is what I want, but I trust most what you want. Then going to when he actually is on the cross in Luke chapter 23, he's hanging on the cross. Oops, that's wrong. And he says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Again, literally suffering, literally alone, literally nothing looks good here. And yet he says, Father, it's interesting that when he's talking to, or when he's praying about those he is closest to, think about the people in your life that you are most for, that you care about most. When he's praying for them, he says, Father. Father, when he's talking to the people who are literally killing him, who are his enemies, who have nothing good for him, he still says, Father, Father. And then all the way to the end, as his life is ending, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said all this, he breathed his last. Over and over again when Jesus prays, in the best of times, when he's excited and happy, when he is suffering deeply, he goes back to Father, the one who said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. This is my son whom I've chosen. And that's the place from which he prays. And then, though, he teaches us to pray that way. Say, Father. Or, in the Matthew account of it, when we get a little bit more filled out and closer to how those of us who grew up saying the Lord's Prayer would say it, chapter 6, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, really, the core is the same in these two prayers, but there's a little more to this one. And in saying our Father in heaven, real quickly, because I've talked about the in heaven a lot, but I've always thought in heaven meant super far away. But how they would have understood the heavens is like, yes, all the way up to the highest heavens, but also just right here. And the intent here is to know, like, our Father, who's here, who I can talk to. Jesus is talking to the one that heavens opened up and the Spirit came down and the Father is here. And the Father came with all kinds of love and affirmation over his Son, Jesus. So now Jesus says, say, our Father. And so the Bible Project is, there's a website, thebibleproject.com, great way to get a short summary of any book in the Bible, of themes in the Bible, you know, just 8, 5, 10 minutes, different time, amounts of time, but they just, in a helpful way, get you a sense of what's this book of the Bible about, or what's a theme in the Bible. But they also have a podcast series, and last week, their podcast series was part one of a four-part series they're going to do on the Lord's Prayer. And one of the comments in there that one of them said was, there's no I in the Lord's Prayer. He was like saying it like there's no I in team. There's no I in the Lord's Prayer. It is our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. It's a prayer when he said, you know, how do you pray? It's really strange because right before this in Matthew says, now when you pray, go to a secret place, like pray by yourself. And when you're praying by yourself, say, our Father, us. Well, that's, I think we can join with others, whether they're in the room or not. And so that's how, when we pray in a couple weeks, we'll be praying together constantly in prayer because someone will be praying on our behalf just by showing up in the room. But here is something that struck me. Maybe I've thought of it before, but I haven't thought of it much, if I had at all. And that is that Jesus is praying this prayer with us. When we say our Father, he's saying our Father with us. It's a prayer we can pray with Jesus. And I think there's a lot of evidence in that Jesus, part of his goal is for us to be able to like be connected to the Father. That we do that with him. He's the one who makes a way for it to be possible at all, but then we can, in an ongoing way, do it with him. So going back to that prayer in John 17 that I read a few different parts of, after praying for those that are literally in the room at that time, he starts praying for others, and this would include his prayers for us. Chapter 17, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now that is quite a prayer. Like, as connected as I am to you, Father, Jesus says, that's how connected these people I'm praying for, that would include us, could be to you and to me. That we'd be that connected. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. Now, he'll go on to pray for us to have unity, and that's the part I've always kind of emphasized when I've read this prayer. It's like, he's praying, like, help them get along. They're always fighting, and they don't get along, and they need to get, you know. But that's part of it. But primarily, it's like, connect us to God. We're as connected to God. He's praying we would be as connected to God as Jesus is to God. That's crazy. It almost sounds like wrong, like I shouldn't be saying it, but let me read verse 23 again. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Oh, whoops. Verse 22, I mean. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So when Jesus says, pray our Father, he's saying, pray that the same way I did. Now, how much did Jesus know he was loved by God? Well, the heavens tore open, and the Spirit came down, and a voice says, this is my Son. I love him. I am pleased with him. I'm delighted in him. I have chosen him. With that same love, that Jesus is praying that we would experience that same kind of love. That when we say we're going to pray, Father, we're praying to the one who just loves us, has chosen us, is pleased with us. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you that you have sent me. Okay. So, the question is, let me two more examples of just this point, because when we go to pray, if I pray like, I wonder how God's doing. I know I'm blown it. I know I'm not doing this. And that's kind of my prayers are going to be different than if I know I'm loved. Like, to the extent that Jesus is loved by God the Father. That is huge. Well, look at Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 10, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered, Jesus. He's the pioneer of our salvation. He is the front runner. He's the one that went ahead. He's the one that made it possible. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. We're part of the family. And he says to say, our Father. I'm not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of you. You don't have to carry that shame. Just say, our Father. And now pray. Because you're loved. You're chosen. 1 John 3:1 says, that's not it. Can you bring that one up? Because that'll take me time here. Anyways, there we go. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The Father lavished on us. So over and over again, when we're going Father, and whatever you want to say, you know, my dad is Bumpa in our family, and Camille's dad is Papa, and you know, these affectionate words, you know, Daddy doesn't quite work for me. That just doesn't feel natural. Abba does. Abba, there's something different. There's something a little tender about Abba when I say Abba. That's the one that works for me. When we go to pray, we're praying to someone who loves us deeply. Whew. So why doesn't it feel that way? Well, what do we experience in life? So this week, Emmett is moving up to Wisconsin. Camille's moving him up to Wisconsin for a stretch, and so it's me and the kids, and we had a full stretch, and last night, as I am trying to get things together at the last minute, I get this stuff together because get ready for today, because I got to get up, get here, we got stuff after here, I'm trying to figure it out, and Elsa's not feeling well. I mean, it could be because we were to Waterloo and back at midnight Friday night, it could be she just ate way too much graduation food, and she had a birthday party. I mean, a lot of sugar because her tummy's not feeling good. It could be. It was like 83 in our house. And I'm not going to explain why. It's just that I start noticing, like, I'm trying to do laundry, and I am just sweating. I'm literally sweating. I've already taken two showers because I mowed yesterday, too. Like, I'm sweating, and I'm thinking, I am not ready for tomorrow. I was thinking, this, you know, it was about getting close to 9 o'clock. I was thinking, by 9 o'clock, I got to get start working on tomorrow. And I'm hearing, Dad, yeah, it still hurts. Okay, honey, well, you just need to rest. But it hurts. Okay, can I get you anything out? About 5-10 minutes later, I'm trying to finally get things done. We're getting close, you know, Dad. And so after about the third of these, like, I am just like, I don't have time for this. Like, I just don't have time for this. That's literally where we're at right now. And it dawns on me what I'm talking about today. And I think to myself, how is Elsa experiencing her dad? Because that somehow, I think, gets in us for how we expect to experience our heavenly dad. And so I shifted. Elsa, why don't we get you over here to this bed? Why don't we get you comfortable? It's cooler in this room. The fans work better. Let's do this. Now, I did not have any dad of the year moments. It wasn't that good. But it was different than it was before. And funny thing is, after 10 or 20 minutes and a couple more check-ins, she fell asleep then. And then she woke up and she felt fine. And I wonder how she would have woken up if I had kept that same, because she was ingesting, no matter what my words were, she was ingesting my attitude, which is, I don't have time for you. I think she would have woke up sick, because our emotional, physical is so, and I wonder to myself, how many times have my other kids been sick because they're just picking up what I'm sending them? And it's not good. But what helped me in that moment was not to focus on how good or bad of a dad I was being. That wouldn't have helped me. That would have just made me feel worse, but also resentful. Because this is really what's happening in my life right now. What helped me was that all week this week, every day, only for 2 or 3 minutes, usually, I would read that passage, getting ready for this week. This is my son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. And I would start to say that about me. I am your son, who you love. You love me. You're pleased with me. I would say it out loud. It didn't feel natural. It felt kind of natural, but kind of not. And I think it only felt kind of natural because I'm a long ways down the road compared to where I was in actually knowing and experiencing the Father's love. So this is Pentecost Sunday. And we've been talking about Jesus and his prayers. We've been talking about the Father and the Father's love. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. And you didn't really ask because some of you are going, come on, let's wrap this up. I got that. I got that vibe coming. That's all right. But this is important. Because when they said, Jesus, or Lord, teach us how to pray, he gave that those main key points of what to pray, and then he told a little story, and then he said this. Oh, wrong passage. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking, receives. The one who seeks and keeps on seeking, finds. And to the one who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this is interesting. Jesus, who's teaching us how to pray, says, start Father and trust that the Father wants to give you good gifts. Like, even you guys who aren't good, you give good gifts sometimes. The Father always wants to give good gifts. The Father always has the best in mind. And so know that and keep on asking and keep on praying to your Father. And especially pray for the Holy Spirit. That's the best gift you can get. The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, when I think of Pentecost Sunday, I think of the power that came in, fire, wind, prophetic message going out, people coming to faith, and all of that is awesome. Come, Holy Spirit, I want to see it all. But there's some aspect of asking for the Holy Spirit that gets even to a deeper place, a longer lasting place, that those other things actually are intended to help us move towards, and that is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Man, I'm going to mark my passages next time. All right, here we go. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You ask for the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit gets inside of you into the being. You're his kid. You're God's kid. You are loved. Like there's something, you start to know it and believe it in the deepest places, and then you can say out loud, I'm loved. I'm loved by God. He's pleased with me. And not have the weird inner tension as much. Because more and more of the Holy Spirit is helping you come into the reality that you are loved, that you are a son, that you are a daughter. One last passage for today from Galatians chapter 4. I usually don't use this many notes, and that's for good reason. Okay, here we go. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, to daughtership, because you are his sons and daughters. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Like the best when you're his kid is that the super good inheritance is yet to come. But even now, put into our minds, our emotions, our beings more and more, if we receive the Holy Spirit more and more, is that we're loved. That we're his kids, that we belong, that we're going to be okay. He's going to take care of us. All of that is what we get when we ask for the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have the team come up. I guess we'll bring up the action steps. As you're doing a great job, by the way. I've set you up for failure, and yet you have succeeded. Okay, so pray the Lord's Prayer every day. We have some bookmarks out there with the Lord's Prayer because recognize some people didn't learn the Lord's Prayer. Like I said it as part of my church every week, but we don't do that here. We're going to do that during the series. But there's a bookmark for the Lord's Prayer. Upper Room on Wednesday nights is a place to come and pray. Come to be with God, come to sense his love. And then I would encourage you to sign up for that week of prayer and be part of us praying continually for a week. That said, let's say the Lord's Prayer together now. And then, in true Pentecost fashion, we're just going to wait for a little while and invite the Holy Spirit to come and to lead us. So let's pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's pray. God, if you are the most loving being in the world, if your love is better than anything the world has to offer, anything else that we could experience, then we want to acknowledge that we don't really know your love, at least not close to the full extent of what you offer. Father, we want to know. We want to know how much we're loved. We know we need your help to know how much we're loved. We know we've had parents who haven't shown us that love perfectly. We know that many of us have been parents that haven't shown that love perfectly, but your love can overcome those things. And we want to know your love based on the reality of who you are, not what we've experienced in our human relationships that fall short of that. So would you send your love this morning to us in a unique way? in a new way, in a way that heals, in a way that gets to the depth of our being. We're asking for the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to know your love, to know that we belong to you.
You're
thank you that you love us, Father. Thank you that you love us, Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us. You really love us. You really love us. I pray for people whose capacity to experience joy is very limited. Pray that the love of the Father and the filling of the Holy Spirit would come to increase the capacity to experience joy. Increase our capacity to experience joy and to know that we are loved by you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you really love us. Thank you that you're smiling over us. God, would you take the lid off of whatever blocks your love from flowing into us? Would you take the lid off? So that your love could flow in, could freely flow in and flow out of us. Thank you that you're here right now. We can sense that you're here right now and that you love us. You're happy to be here with us. Thank you that you love us.